Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Pellegrini Financial and IPC Investment Corporation fourth quarter conference call. I would like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Perry Pellegrini. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Welcome, everybody. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to our conference call entitled A Crude Reality. I'd like to remind everybody that while our conference calls tend to focus on markets, the most important focus, of course, is on your own individual plan and objectives. And obviously, it is a very personal thing, and there's no way that we can address that type of thing in a conference call environment. So I encourage you, as always, to call in and talk to Ryan and myself about any of the actual financial planning issues that you may have to deal with. Okay, let's get started. The fourth quarter of 2014 was a volatile quarter, as I'm sure any of you that are following what's going on in the markets would recall. In early October, we saw markets drop by more than 5% over the course of about a week, only to turn around and go up by about 8% over the next 2 weeks. So, as I said, very volatile. I think most of the people tend to focus on the news where we hear what's going on from a negative standpoint and may be surprised to see where the quarter actually ended up. Uneven economic growth or activity across the globe throughout 2014 was sort of the centerpiece of the year. From a financial standpoint, we saw the U.S., U.K., and India were all quite positive. Europe and Japan were negatives, as were Brazil and Russia. Russia, of course, I think most of us are familiar with why that might be. Looking at kind of zeroing in on different regions, the Canadian markets were down through the quarter. Overall, our economy was pretty good. But of course, we are pretty heavy on the energy side, and energy throughout the quarter was pretty much a negative. The U.S. was probably the best spot in the world to be. They have a fairly small energy component, and by I'd say the last half of December, you might be surprised to know that most of the U.S. markets were actually at record highs. So. The U.S. was a pretty strong performer. International markets were tough. Europe is still dealing with their sovereign debt issues. They've got continued worry about deflation. Russia, of course, has all of the issues surrounding the constraints that the rest of the world is putting on it. China has been, while it's still growing, is growing at a slower rate. So most of the rest of the world sees that as almost a slowdown. Even though it's not a slowdown, they are growing at a slower rate than they have in the past or than what is expected. The good thing is the U.S. is the most important one, and they're the one that has been doing pretty well. Their economy has been advancing, has been in advance mode for a number of years now. And of course, one of the concerns that people have is that this business cycle might be getting long in the tooth. However, I think when we look at it, one of the things that we have to recognize is that they had a very slow start from a very low point. And we're, of course, talking about the Great Recession of 2008-2009, where things went down to a very, very low point and was quite sluggish trying to get out of that. So while we have been, or the U.S. has been in advanced mode for a number of years, we still believe that there's room to go on that particular business cycle. Of course, the caveat there is that the rest of the world doesn't seem to be chugging along. So the question there is, can the U.S. pull the rest of the world along, or is the rest of the world going to drag the U.S. down? So those are some of the things that we will be trying to keep an eye on over the course of the next year or so. Let's talk about interest rates. Obviously, they're very low. We've been talking about interest rates going up for several years now. and it just doesn't seem to be happening. In fact, as most of you know, the Canadian Central Bank, in fact, lowered interest rates here a couple of weeks ago. The Australian bank, I believe, was just yesterday lowered their rates by a quarter of a point. So there's still a big question mark out there regarding interest rates. We've got a couple of ideas on both sides. The rationale for rising interest rates is that the U.S. economy is actually growing and growing at what we call above trend rates, so considered to be growing at a fairly fast pace. Their labor market the slack has been reduced there. Their unemployment rate is now below 6%. Higher wage rate increases are likely. They're starting, when we talk about the U.S., they're starting from basically a zero interest rate policy. So those are the things that give us cause to think that rates are probably going up. On the other side of the argument, though, you've got Europe, which seems to be mired in difficulties, so that's a big negative or a drag on what's going on in the world. You've got Russian economy, political issues, debt default concerns, things like that, and we've got this persistent fear of deflation, which of course rising interest rates would be the worst thing that you could do in that environment. So interest rates, again, we are at a very low point. We feel that they ought to be going up, but there are enough things out there that seem to just keep central banks back from moving forward. We will see something along the way at some point, of course, because the current interest rate policy is just simply not sustainable. So at some point, we know that when central banks feel that the path is a little clearer, we can expect to see some type of interest rate rise. Let's talk about the dollar. I guess there's two parts to that. One is the U.S. dollar, and then, of course, the one that most of us in Canada think about is always the Canadian versus U.S. exchange. The U.S. dollar is quite strong, not surprising, because they sort of are the economy that seems to be chugging along here lately. So that, of course, is making their dollar appreciate. Their dollar appreciating in turn means that the Canadian dollar relative to the U.S. dollar is going down. That's part of the story. The other part of the Canadian dollar story is, quite frankly, energy and other commodities. But let's face it, mostly energy. When the price of oil is going down and dealing with the issues surrounding the whole oil environment, that is going to hurt the Canadian dollar. And so that's where we see the significant fall in the Canadian dollar coincides with the significant fall in the price of oil. Talking about oil, boy, I'll tell you, you've got a huge decline since last June. That is really a supply and demand story. And I know that I've heard people talking about, we think that we're trying to punish Iran or we're trying to punish Russia. I simply don't buy into those conspiracy theories. I believe that the reality is that we've got too much supply for the amount of demand that's out there. In general, we've got a global economy that seems to be a little bit weak, so that's causing demand to be suppressed a bit. And we've got this huge increase in fracking that has caused supply to increase. So you get the combination of demand being suppressed and supply being boosted, and you've got a supply-demand issue that causes the price to go down. Normally, OPEC would manage that, and they would normally manage that by adjusting their supply. And as many of you know, if you follow it, they came out in November and said, no, we're not going to do that this time. And other producers are going to have to deal with the oversupply issue, and we are going to allow the price of oil to fall until other producers start to rein in their production. And of course, the issue with that is that OPEC can produce oil at a lot cheaper price than most other producers, particularly when we look at oil sands or the whole fracking industry, which requires higher oil prices. However, OPEC is not immune to this thing either. They've got fiscal budgets that have to be supported. They do need higher oil prices. While they can technically pump the oil out of the ground and sell it at the lower prices, their governments need more money to support a lot of the social programs that they have going on. So somewhere along the line, we are going to see some equilibrium come back into the picture, and we're going to see the price of oil move up. We're just not exactly sure how long that's going to take. We are seeing, particularly on the fracking industry, we are seeing a lot of rig shutdowns and things like that. And, you know, that brings us to one of the things that we often hear in the oil industry, is the phrase, the best cure for low oil prices is low oil prices. And why is that? Clearly, low oil prices spurs demand, so that increases the demand side. It also curtails supply, so that reduces the supply of oil. And the combination of that, of course, is what produces higher oil prices. So only time will solve that. We'll see how that plays out over the course of the next year. And see what that does from an economy standpoint. Interesting on the perspective side, since 1986, we have actually seen six major declines in oil prices, where the average drop has been about 59% and has lasted about 229 days. When we look at the current situation, we are down approximately 50% in price and approximately 170 days. So while we are all sort of jumping around feeling like the end of the world is coming, this current situation we're in with respect to oil prices is not out of the ordinary. So something to keep in mind. Now, the title of our call was A Crude Reality. Why are we calling it that? Well, we're speaking mostly to Albertans. And the reality is, for those of us in Alberta, when the price of oil drops the way it has, we quite frankly feel that the end of the world is near, with the price of oil going down and the Canadian dollar going down. We just see that as huge negatives. The reality is that these things are viewed by many Canadians as being quite positive. So it's not all a negative story. I mean, when we look at the winners and losers on the oil side, or the price of oil side, with a drop in oil prices, the winners, of course, are consumers, airlines, transportation companies, the travel industry. The losers, of course, are the energy company, engineering firms, things like that. When we look at the Canadian dollar, again, most of us in Alberta, we tend to focus on the Canadian dollar more from a travel standpoint in terms of us traveling to the U.S. The reality is that the falling Canadian dollar, the lower Canadian dollar, is generally good for consumers, generally quite good for manufacturing. Most of that happens in other parts of the country, but it is a positive. And it's also a positive for the travel and tourism industry coming into Canada. So I think we try to keep some of those things in mind. As I said, I know that we all live in an oil producing territory. And so when we see our commodity price go down, we are quite negative on that from a feeling standpoint. But overall, it's not as big a negative as we might feel. So looking at the overall picture, the markets actually have been performing reasonably well. Obviously, we all like to see smooth lines, moving straight up. The reality, of course, is that doesn't happen. We have to deal with the ups and downs along the way. And interesting, I think, for most people to note that despite all of the volatility and a lot of the negative conversation that goes on, particularly in the province of Alberta, and the perceived negative from the price of oil, 2015 is actually off to a positive start. So we are we're hopeful on that. We continue to do the things that we need to do and manage things accordingly. With that, I'm going to wrap up. I want to remind everybody that the most important thing for you is how these money issues meld with your own circumstances. So once again, I encourage you to call Ryan or myself if you've got any questions or issues. And I want to thank you for attending this morning, and have a great day. Bye-bye.